the same thing happened to us.
Anything, anything, not necessarily to be confined to AIR, anything connected with media.
Does AIR involve itself in any publicity or promotional activity for the station, sir? Because when it's public service, then in Lagos, as far as I know, not many people do indulge in listening to AIR stations. So what exactly is the purpose when the people in the metro or for the people who the programs are targeted to actually don't listen to it because they don't know about it? So does the station involve any publicity, sir?
I don't think so. Because you see, AIR has been there, as I said, for the last 81 years. Probably in the some of the metropolitan areas, probably people are glued to Doordarshan or not Doordarshan exactly, different channels and all. But then you see, today the country is so vast. You see, we have the largest number of distances. You go to any place, you go to Thiruvananthapuram or Kerala, Malayalam area, now where the channels have not been able to dislodge. Now we get the input through our news on phone service. I think this is very popular service in Malayalam area. You go to the northeast, it's only radio which is heard. You go to Jammu and Kashmir, it's only because there is no channel or television working because of power supply. Now power supply is not there, you can't listen. Then because of the topography, the signals do not go, it's only radio is working. You go to Himachal Pradesh, same thing. You go to Himachal and Bhattapur, large part of area. Now we have got enough of response when these centuries, what floods happened in Bihar the other day, and the way how our dispatches have been covered, and we get responses from the people. That's the only media we ask. When your tsunami or in Port Blair or Andaman, when some cyclone or anything takes place, it's only through radio it happens. So I don't think we need to be publicizing ourselves so much, but, now we do it, for example, in Doordarshan, if you notice, you will find, now there also we publicize it, if any important programs are there, we publicize. I'll give an example. When we started this phone-in program, now we thought, I don't know, we are asking, to second the program, but then whether people will question, sawal karenge aur kya, what day they will put any question to us. I was surprised to see that questions started pouring in so much that we can't afford it all. So I don't think we don't have to publicize this sort of thing. It is the listener now who has got the sovereignty. Now listener, if he feels that I will listen to this particular program, so they are waiting for that program. If you know that I will hear the hard talk of BBC, so they know that this is the program broadcast at that time, and I will listen to them. So this is what happens. I don't think we need to publicize. Now, but then, we do, I mean, your advertisement and all these small programs. Now, today we are taking this FM mode, frequency modulation. Now, which is not broadcast, what is your radius of, say, 50, 60, 70 kilometers, and these are very popular. I think in Chennai also, I think this FM is quite popular. We have launched so many new things in Kodaikanal, Coimbatore, the new FM headlines. Why? It's the people's demand. We have not started on our own. People want it. So I think we get enthusiastic response from the people. You probably, unfortunately, have not listened to the program, or maybe in your neighborhood, but then that's a small view. If you see the totality, we are on the other side of the table. We are so overwhelmed by the response, we are not able to accommodate each and every thing. So many requests come for this program, that program, we can't accommodate. So I don't think we have this kind of crisis. Yes.
Sir, how free are you to critically evaluate government schemes and programs?
Oh, you understood. Okay. So now it is like this. Because you see, in a country, vast country like India, while I think more than one third of the people are still below poverty level, and again, lot of segments of population who suffer from so many disabilities, the government has to intervene. The government has to intervene through different schemes, projects, rural employment guarantee scheme, rural health mission, say road construction, so many infrastructural projects. Now these projects can be successful only when people give support to it. So who will project these things? Who will enlist the support of the people? Now definitely private channels won't do that. That's not their agenda. So therefore, in the All India Radio and Doordarshan have to do it. So we do it as a public service broadcaster. But then the question is, what you are saying, that whether we are free to determine our content. No, we are free. We are functional autonomy. We get funds from the government, no doubt, but government does not control that you broadcast this agenda. You do not broadcast this agenda. No. We have got broadcast code. We are guided by it. What is the code? Code is, now we should not broadcast anything which will incite violence. We should not broadcast anything which will incite communal passions. We should not broadcast anything which will be detrimental to the relationship between two friendly countries. We should not do anything which will incite people against the established form of government. So we have got a broadcasting code. It is all written. So we follow that code. Now if a particular story does not follow that code, we don't broadcast. If there is some communal riots, we do not say that so-and-so community, we don't do that. Because it will incite, inflame further passions. We report it as a news. We say, for example, two groups clashed. Police intervened and then brought the situation under control. The situation is now limping back to normal like that. So, barring this broadcast code, we are free to broadcast whatever is possible within the parameters of our broadcast code.
Good afternoon, sir. In recent times, newspapers were always influenced by various political parties. But nowadays, even private news channels are being influenced by various political parties. Or rather, I should say, they are almost run by political parties. So don't you think in such a case, the objectivity of news is being lost?
Yes. Now it is like this, because you see, if you read the history of the newspapers or the media in the country, you will find it came as a mission. When Gandhiji started his Harijan, now he used this print media to propagate his views or to create an ambience or the atmosphere to promote the freedom movement in the country. So it was missionary. Now today, now how is to fund? Because the cost was limited, small cost, the expenditure was not much. Somebody gave the money on grant, some private benevolent organization they should run. But today you cannot do that. Now today you must have money. So how can you get the money? You must have the sponsors. Now you are saying, for example, a particular business group, corporate, wants to project his views. Now he brings a newspaper. Obviously his editorial policy will be in tune with the objectives of the corporate world. You are saying the political parties. Political parties are launching, this is a phenomenon in Chennai, that political parties are involved in, say, producing programs or channels in respect of their political parties. Now, yes, what they are doing is, they are using the media for propagation of their ideology and all. Now, yes, it is true that ideally, if this thing happens, so then it will change the color of a news. Now when a news or events take place, now it depends on how you view it. Now some people will take the side of one political party, so put the story or write the story in such a manner that political party is put in a bad light. So therefore, if you say that when a channel is launched by a political party, by a corporate entity, it will definitely color the objectivity of the news. It is absolutely correct. It is objectivity is affected. But ultimately, what happens is, even if I want to do or launch a program for a good cause, even I will also project the good side of that thing also. So therefore, if a political party does it, if a corporate party does it, or uses the media to project his or her views or the views of the political party, it will definitely affect the objectivity of the news. There is no doubt about it. But then the question is, what is the solution? The solution is, ultimately, as they say, the consumer is sovereign. Similarly, in the media world, the listener or the viewer or the reader is sovereign. Now, if the viewer and the reader and the listener is sovereign, if they are free to determine, what will happen is, if you go on simultaneously or consistently to project a biased story, the listeners will create a bad effect, will not take it. It will have a counterproductive effect, because listener is sovereign, viewer is sovereign. And then after some time, now if the channel people find that my story's rating is going down, I am not getting the required number of viewers or the circulation, so therefore it will affect the financial viability, so they will definitely change their strategy. So therefore the solution lies in the improved or qualitative consciousness of the people at large, the listeners, the viewers, or the readers. So this is the way how a solution can be found out. And this is the way, I think, in a democratic society, it should be so. As they say, you can fool some people for some time, but you cannot fool all people for all time. So ultimately, it will generate a self-regulatory system within the media world, and also aversion so far as the listeners are concerned, viewers are concerned. So that is the ultimate vigilance which is exercised and can rectify this kind of distortion in the presentation of news, the delivery of news.
Sir, would you like to know the employment opportunities in electronic media?
Yes. Today, I think the electronic media is now growing. You see, when we started from the early 90s, there were many channels coming one after another. And I feel that still the media is not saturated. The country is so vast, country is in so many linguistic and cultural profiles that the saturation point has not come. So I see in another 15-20 years, definitely the media will grow. It has become a viable industry now. So many people in so many ways are involved. So I personally see that the scope of employment in the media world is still very good, very good. It will remain so, as I see, at least 15-20 years hence. What you have to do is, you have to be a specialist today. If you want to do reporting, be a specialist reporter. That means if you want to concentrate on economic news, do that. If you want to do science and technology, do that. If you want to do the political news, do that. If you want to do the legal side, you do that. So like that, you have to specialize. Today it is the age of specialization. If you want to do some research work for a particular program in television, you concentrate on that. Now if you are fluent in editing, or if you feel you don't like to go out, you will like to do the editing with guests, who specialize in that, learn the craft, be specialist. I think the job potential is very strong.
Thank you, sir. Good words indeed. And I request Mrs. Vajajati, the head of the Department of Journalism, to present our guest to the token of our appreciation and gratitude.
Thank you. Thank you.
On behalf of the media staff and students, I'd like to thank our beloved guest today, Dr. B. P. V. Bandyopadhyay, for having made some time off his busy schedule and chatting with us. I'd also like to thank Dr. K. Rimla Prasad, our beloved principal, Mr. Vijay Tirumendram, also known as the regular sir, our media consultant, Dr. G. Kavita, the Dean of Media Department, Mrs. Meenakshi, the Health Department of Electronic Media, and all faculty members who have helped organize this wonderful session for us. Thank you one and all. Rajadima, thank you so much. I'd like to thank you, the viewers and listeners.